gifts from the Home Depot. Save on all the best ideas by shopping in-store or on the app. Choose from new innovative tools, top-rated grills, or even the latest smart cameras and devices for your home. Because what dad doesn't love? New gear. The best gifts for the best dads. And you'll find them all at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store for details. Restrictions apply.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture the Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard. You see two iconic treats blending together in a mesmerizing swirl of pieces of Thin Mints cookies. Cool Mint and world-famous DQ Soft Serve. You smile the biggest smile you've ever smiled. It's a double smile because your two favorites, DQ and Girl Scout Thin Mints, are together in one delicious treat. And the only reason you stop smiling is so you can start eating. The Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard. Exclusively at DQ. Get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy tastes good.
G-Sean, J. Will, and Zubin.
I always worry about Alex Smith moving forward. He wants to play. I wish him the damn best of luck to play. I would love to see him maybe be a backup quarterback down, maybe in Jacksonville, work with a guy like Trevor Lawrence, transition that into a coach. But every time he steps on the field, I'm worried like hell for him because I think it's much more important for Alex Smith to think about running with his kids more so than running on a football field.
G-Sean, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number two, Nate Osborne next segment. Wilson Alexander, bottom of the hour. Brandy's on the on-deck circle. As I promised, we would open up hour number two, continuing with what I was kind of mentioning at the end of hour number one, as we have apparently a leading candidate for the job over at LSU, and that is Coach Casey, Mr. Pat Casey of Oregon State, back in the day, 62 years old, 900 wins. So that's a topic. We've touched on the NBA. And also, of course, as we mentioned at the start of the show, Louisiana lawmakers have passed the bill to legalize sports betting. It is being sent to the governor's desk. He has said he will sign it. Once he signs it, you could have sports betting legally in the parishes that approved it, 55 of 64 in this state, as early as this fall. Lee, thank you for holding on, sir. Randy will come to you after Lee. What you got, Lee?
Hey, Gus. Man, you know, I'm chiming in on the baseball today. Let me tell you, when I heard that O'Sullivan was a candidate to get the job at LSU, I was like, cool. But then I watched him play in the tournament.
Right.
And I'm like, not cool. Because that entire team quit on him, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was because they heard the rumors that he was being considered for the LSU job, and all of a sudden they just stopped playing because they didn't stop playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped playing for him, dude. And I'm like, oh, do you want somebody here? I mean, I don't, you know, if you're a coach and your guys love and respect you, they're gonna play hard for you if it's your last year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're retiring or if you're going to another school, they're gonna send you out on top. I don't like the way they quit on him. So that's number one. Number two, the Pat Casey situation, I was like, I like the idea until I remember what happened with that pitcher. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Oh, no. Then I start thinking Title IX. Like, no, LSU don't do it. Because I'm looking at it from this standpoint. You don't want to undo what you did by bringing in Kim Mulkey. That, I think, was a great, great, great move to bring in. Because now the LSU women's basketball team is immediately relevant for that hire. I'm expecting them to win next year just because she's here. Don't undo that by bringing in, I think, the Pat Casey guy. Because we don't, like you say, we don't know all the story behind everything or what's going on. Maybe the AD has done this due diligence, but I'm thinking you might want to go somewhere else. And I'm leaning with Jordan's leaning with this. I'm thinking younger guy. Bring in somebody younger that can recruit, that has a great rapport, that can go to a young man's home and sell him on the LSU program. I don't know about this one, man. I'm kind of mixed about it. I don't know. Just unless there's something we don't know about that it really wasn't his fault, or like you said, because the optics is not good for Casey to come in. But as far as Sullivan goes, I was like, he withdrew his name. No, he didn't withdraw his name. LSU withdrew his name. I think they withdrew his name after they saw how his team performed in the tournament. I'm telling you, you don't want that out of your coach. You don't want your guys to quit on the coach. You can say what you want. The way they got shellacked, they quit. They quit. I mean, they put up no fight against South Alabama that shellacked them. It was horrible. It was horrible. That was bad. You know, I know LSU had a poo-poo game like that earlier this year, but, man, them guys bounced back from that.
I hear you, Lee. Get the rest of the phone calls here. Thank you for the, the take. Like I said, that's why I'm asking. What kind of coach did you want? Somebody that's young. Somebody I don't know. I'm kind of thinking this is a elite program. Another head coach in the SEC, perhaps, that has taken a lot of those teams. Heck, you know where I'm at. Get calls as much as I hate it. Scott Barry at Southern Miss and Hattiesburg. What he's been able to do there? Proven winning, turning that into. Baseball being the second sport on campus there and hosting regionals, doing that. Now give him the support of LSU. What kind of coach could that be? That's kind of where I would be looking if I'm LSU. Because, again, it's not like you're the dominant team in the SEC right now. You have basically everybody in the SEC is competitive. Randy, thanks for giving us a call here, sir. What you got today on the Sports Hangover?
What's going on, Gus? How you doing, brother?
Doing well, man.
Hey, In regard to the last caller, he was completely wrong. So the two games that Florida played had nothing to do with, O'Sullivan coming here or not. When Sully took his name out the hat was when we won Monday night and advanced to the Super Regionals, because O'Sullivan was putting a point to where he couldn't wait anymore because he's got recruits, he's got this team, and he's constantly being asked about it. It just couldn't be delayed another week. See what I'm saying? And also, a lot of people don't know, but you had a murder, suicide that's going on around, O'Sullivan in Florida right now. And plus, with his ex-wife, his ex-wife would have had to agree to move and take the kids and move to Louisiana. Now she's remarried, take that into account. And all that, and from sources I've heard, he said that he would have taken the job, that his wife was, she would have relocated here if the job was offered to him. I think the Pat Casey thing came in was when the timing with O'Sullivan couldn't make the hire because we advanced, came in because who else you got after that? I mean, they was talking about Bianco, the older heads that, watched Bianco play and win all those championships under Skip Bertman wanted him. But he's been at Ole Miss for 21 seasons, and I think we can both count. How many times he's been to Omaha, Gus? Do you happen to know in 21 seasons at Ole Miss?
Well, here's the thing. I guess I'm still stuck on.
It's one less than two.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is the thing that I'm still stuck on is that you think that who else is there? And again, I would think that is a position where people are calling you and begging you to give them an opportunity to be their head coach. So I don't know if I completely buy, once O'Sullivan didn't work out, who else you got? I can promise you, you could easily come up with 10, 15 coaches that are really good head baseball coaches that could run your program. Like I'm not of the, who else do you have other than a 62-year-old from Oregon State who hadn't coached in a little bit and, has some
stuff attached. Well, they also talked to Tim Corbin.
They
also talked to Tim Corbin. Mm-hmm. And you kind of got to look at it like this too, Gus. LSU's not going to go out there and go get a coach that hasn't won. You know what I'm saying? So you can say there's a lot of great coaches out there in the country, but there's not a lot of great coaches that have won a national championship or national championships. And that's just the route LSU is going to go, unless they go to Mike Bianco route because he played here mm-hmm. and the boosters like him. So when I heard it was either O'Sullivan or Bianco, when O'Sullivan took his name out the hat, that's when I think they called Pat Sullivan because he's got three national championships. But to me, I think I would have made the call to Tim Corbin before I would have made the call to Pat Casey. Now he's happy at Vanderbilt, he said, but he did say that he picked up the phone and he did talk to LSU, and there is a few things he's unhappy about at Vanderbilt. Look, we know Vanderbilt has more money than God, so God isn't going to be, you know, money isn't going to be the issue with Vanderbilt. Right. So I'm just wondering, you know, if it is Pat Casey, you know, would he have to address the situation? Would he have to, you know, talk about it publicly? Would he have to? And what would be the fan? Interaction? Because if you remember, in that 2017 College World Series game, Maneri is the one that actually opened the can of worms right before the game started against LSU when they were playing us about the pitcher with that whole situation. If you can remember that.
Mm-hmm. Look, so, I like what you're saying. Tim Corbin, that's what I'm getting at. There are other coaches that have done more with less per se, or have won, have shown you they can win. What's intriguing about Corbin is, again, it's Vandy and it's in the SEC, which is right now you have a ton of teams that are competitive.
I agree.
He's been able to, you know, build his program on pitching. I think a guy that can develop players, man, you know, is just as key. I was just surprised by that name.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Max was as well.
Said the same thing too. I was exactly. Wasn't thrilled. And that's what I'm getting at. What you just brought up, the sentiment that I think a lot of LSU baseball fans are sort of, all right, yeah, you got the credentials. He went to Omaha. He's won three titles. I hear you. But to me, that's a position, that's a job where when that person is named, the majority of the opinion is, wow, that's fair. I mean, like, you here's the thing. This is a job you can choose. Does that make sense? Like, there's very few jobs in the world where you can choose literally one of the best candidates. Like, you're not hoping that this guy takes your job, or you go through two or three situations. I mean, we just saw teams in the NFL, you know, where they wanted different coaches and they're on to, you know, job two, job three, colleges this past year. You know, this guy turns them down. This is one of those jobs that you can literally sit on a table and go, okay, who are the best coaches in college baseball? And you could pick up the phone, and to your point, he will at least answer. He will at least answer and
I've
hear
heard
what
he
you
did.
Have to say.
Right, and I've heard that Tim Corbin did answer, and they did talk. Now, I also want to say this, too, to people who out there might not know this. Mm-hmm. Pat Casey was not charged of anything. He was not charged in anything. So what happened was the kid, you know, did what he did before he played at Oregon State.
Right, I know.
But
15
the downfall
years old.
Of that is, is that Pat Casey knew about it and still chose to bring him on staff.
Right.
Pat Casey was never charged with any crime.
Right.
It was just, you know, he brought him on knowing that he did that. So, I mean, you got to hire somebody, Gus. I mean, you know, I personally think the squeaky clean guy who, Bianco, like you said the other night, his kind of night out is having a second bottle of wine. He's squeaky clean. He's an LSU guy. I'd rather see them go Bianco than go Pat Casey.
Right.
But, you know, people want titles. And Bianco hasn't won anything in 21 years. So
I hear you, Randy. Thank you for the phone call, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I think one of the toughest things about that, though, is it's hard to win titles. You know, it's hard to win. Paul Maneri, 15 years, won one. It's just, so show me you can win consistently. 30, 40 wins. Go to comp, you know, host regionals. Like, that's winning to me. Very few win national titles, right? Head coach Nate Osborne. We'll do that when we come back quickly. And then Wilson Alexander will get back to this at the bottom of the hour. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals
at Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
No matter the season, there's always work to do. What's better than the legendary power and performance of Husqvarna to help make the toughest jobs easy on you? The full range of genuine Husqvarna parts and accessories add versatility, increase performance, and provide protection for your equipment, helping you tackle any task in every season. There's never been a better time to choose Husqvarna. See the full lineup of Husqvarna products and accessories at Southern Trailer Works in Shreveport, between Houma and Thibodeau, or online at southerntrailerworks.com.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003. Joe, we'll get you in about 6-7 minutes here. If you want to hold on real quick, we'll speak with Nate Osborne quickly. About last weekend, Coach, and the upcoming weekend, 8-7? Coach, 8-7? How are you this afternoon, man?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. I'm okay. Yeah, 8-7. It was a tight one. It was, it was something that I think we let slip away. But in saying that, I thought all our guys aimed up and, you know, really played well. But, you know, Atlanta's a good team and, you know, won 6 in a row and beat the top team the week before for a reason. But I thought we had opportunities that we didn't take in that game and we should have won it.
It's interesting because when you look at 8-7, you think of, well, we've seen scores that go higher in there. What was it about the game that made it such a low-scoring affair?
Mate, I think both teams had the same mentality of that we wanted to try and bash each other. And it was one of those games where, you know, we both thought whoever was could take the physical edge would win the game. And the guys literally just bashed each other for 80 minutes. And no one could get any certainty on the game. And, you know, it was a good game to watch in terms of being close and the defense side of the ball. But, you know, the attack lacked a fair bit. At times because of how physical everyone was trying to be. And there's a few too many mistakes and a few too many errors when we had opportunities to score. So it was an interesting game, actually.
Speak with head coach Nate Osborne of the NOLA Gold. Coach, when you look at that game here as well, another late score is kind of one of the things that's tough to kind of swallow, I'm sure, as a coach too. What, 72nd minute, they get the go-ahead points.
Yeah, and we actually got called for being offside when they got that penalty where they kicked the goal, and then actually were told the next day that we weren't actually offside, and they've reviewed the film and they're sorry. And You know, that makes it even tougher to swallow, I guess. But in no sense am I a referee basher. I think that they do a great job, and they've got a hard job as it is to make those calls. But I think we still had plenty of opportunities to win that game ourselves without that referee decision. But it just makes it all that much tighter. You know, it's one of those games where just that one little mistake could hurt you. And, you know, we put ourselves in a situation where we were too close to offside, not without being offside, to get away with it. So, yeah, we just have to cop it on the chin, and we need to bounce back. And, you know, we're still right in the thick of the playoffs. I know we sit in, you know, third place, but the two teams above us play each other this week, which is Atlanta and New York. So, you know, one person has to lose, and if we go to DC and do the job that we know we can do, then we'll be back in second. And, you know, we've got a game in hand. They've played an extra game than us. So we're still in a good spot. You know, obviously taking a win there would have, you know, really propelled us towards that playoff spot and getting that, you know, it's a tight race. But, you know, we've just got to be... keep swinging. Let's keep firing shots and keep swinging. That's all we can do, and you know, win out our games, and that's it. Get in the playoffs. So we hold our own destiny in our hands, and that's all we can ask for.
I guess, Coach, let's just wrap up with what kind of team DC is then. I mean, obviously, we know all these games are important. You don't have that many left, and you're in that playoff contention. You want to get these victories. What can you tell us about this weekend's opponent, and also the fact that, Coach, from here on out, you're going to be on the road?
Yeah, that's probably the toughest part, has been on the road. But at the same time, I feel like it's going to be good for us. I feel like we kind of got complacent in terms of comfortable, like in human nature. You know, we're here at 8 o'clock every morning. We train and watch film and hang out and laugh and eat lunch and to about 2:30, and then that's kind of our routine. Then we come here and play on a Saturday. So I think to break it up a little bit and to do something a little different actually, you know, could help. And I know that the week leading into Utah, we felt that, and so we did a couple of night sessions just to throw everybody off a little bit. Plus, we were playing at night, and I think you know, it kind of gets to that keeps you ticking rather than going through the motions. And I think there's times when we've had this long home stretch that we've kind of been feeling like we're going through the motions a bit. So I'm excited to get on the road and see what we're made of, and see if that can shake it up a little bit. In terms of DC, they're a very similar team to us. They like to play, you know, running rugby. They like to, you know, move the ball around and try and score tries. And that's something that Atlanta doesn't like to do. So that kind of is a sense that, you know, it's two different things going head to head. So that's why I think it was such a tight game, where I think, you know, we have the opportunity this week to go there and, you know, really blow them away. And I thought week one when we played them, we ended up with a 26-all draw, but we scored four tries to their two. We just missed a couple of kicks, and they got a couple of penalties. So we do believe we're the better team. We do believe that we can go on the road and do a job. And one of the things that for the last couple of years, we've never lost two games in a row. So we're very focused on bounce back and redemption, and knowing that, you know, we don't want to feel like we did last week again, because it becomes a long week. And it becomes a long week for the boys with head coach Nate Osborne hammering them all week. So everyone likes to win, everyone likes to have a good time. So that's what we're expecting. We're going to go there and do a job.
I don't know if you want to hear this or not, as we wrap up with head coach Nate Osborne, but I'm going to blame Jordan on this.
Oh, come on.
This is Jordan's fault.
What did I do this time?
If he would have been at any of your trainings and practice, because he's such an elite level athlete,
Absolutely. That
maybe you guys would have been ready to tackle Atlanta's players and things of that nature, because again, trying to go chase, like, you got a player you like to call, you know, the chicken. I mean, this one here, we call him, I don't know, what are we calling you? What was your first base name?
Oh, you were the glove.
But in terms of your athleticism, what exactly, Coach? Yes, I hear you laughing.
I hear you chuckling over there.
Exactly. God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we could do it like in the Spanish version and call you Pollo Loco, the crazy chicken. I mean, I just, you know, maybe we'll do that. But you know what? Look, Coach, it is what it is. You got to move on. And the next game is the important one. You're still in the playoff hunt. Go get a win.
We will, mate. I'm looking forward to chatting to you next week when I can be in a little bit better mood. But I think, we've got it all in front of us. So we're excited. We're excited to get on the road and go bash DC in their house. Nothing better than beating somebody at their own place. So we're excited about that.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time. 4 o'clock Central, NOLA at DC this weekend on the 12th. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you later, Nick.
Head Coach Nate Osborne, 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, 5 minutes left in this segment. Before we get to Wilson Alexander, we got to go over what's going on in college football. Yesterday we touched on the fact that the committee was going to get together. They're going to a competition committee for the college football playoff. And Ross Dellinger and Pat Forte have been tweeting all morning and afternoon. This, for starters, expect news this afternoon from the college football playoff management committee. After a meeting today, a release is coming based on recommendation for an expanded playoff. We touched on that, Jordan, on how many teams yesterday?
Yeah, so expand to from 4 to 12.
Worth noting, Pat Forte says, per Ross Dellinger's tweet above, 6 highest-ranked conference champs doesn't necessarily limit G5 to one bid or protect all P5 champs. In 2020, those 6 would have been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Cincinnati, and Coastal Carolina. This past football season would be in the college football playoff. Also, given concerns about backloading the December schedule, one option that could be discussed is moving the nationwide season start date to week 0 in late August. That customarily is just a handful of games. That's something we've been expecting and hearing as well. So, that is kind of where it should look like again in that. You know me. I'm all about this. I still think name, image, and likeness will be tied to this somehow, some way. We got 3 more seasons of the current deal. This is year 8 of a 12-year deal unless they scrap it. But I think they will keep that time frame and say, okay, it'll start in 2025 because it gives all the states in the NCAA time to get name, image, and likeness in order. There was hearings yesterday. There was more questions per the Washington Times than answers.
Yeah.
Because Congress is sort of getting involved here as well. Got 3 minutes before the hour break, and then we'll get to Wilson Alexander on LSU baseball. Joe wants to chime in on a conversation. How are you, sir?
Hi.
UT Joe, how are you?
Uh-oh.
Good. Are you surprised they're pursuing Pat Casey? They have no standards and no shame. Are you kidding me?
There it is.
I mean, at least you could have settled on Andy. At least it was just a little hanky-panky with Andy. Andy's a much better coach, and I'm telling you, I don't see y'all getting Casey either. I don't know. You know, I love how they handle this thing because they don't want to make it look like that old Sullivan turned it down. Shamed LSU. I'm just saying, this program does not have the mystique anymore. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go down some more and get another coach that has not won a natty. At least that's what the state of Texas did. Don't you think?
You like your head coach, don't you? I liked him while he was here as well, too, to be honest with you. I did.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Can I say this? I want to call out Anthony on the cell.
Anthony you on know, the cell? Don't, we hear from Anthony on the cell like once every 4 years
Anthony
and you're calling him out?
Anthony on the cell does a little side swipe after I talked to you last week. And then he openly admits that he's going in for the gastric sleeve.
Yeah,
Anthony, my friend, my buddy. You know, that's about a $10,000 procedure, and you're probably going to lose about 100 pounds. What is that, $100 a pound? Are you kidding me? And at the end of all that, they're going to tell you to drink a lot of water. You could have done that yourself for free. You idiot. I'll let you go.
There he goes, UT Joe. In case y'all don't know, Anthony on a cell, UT Joe. I've been calling since year one. Thank you, UT Joe, for hearing from you. Quick break. We come back. Mr. Wilson Alexander, we will chat with him. His thoughts on the latest rumors and chatter and getting out of Oregon. And oh, by the way, there's a There's a super regional starting on Saturday between LSU and Tennessee. It's the Sports Hangover, hour number two, bottom of that hour on ESPN New Orleans.
It's time for the 44th Annual Cajun Heritage Festival, this Saturday and Sunday at the La Rose Civic Center. There will be duck calling, live auction, carving supplies, boat building, Cajun food, decoy sales, and decoy contests. You can buy, sell, or swap at the Cajun Heritage Festival. So join us this weekend and help us to support this important part of our Cajun heritage and culture. For more information, call 985-228-0845 or look us up on Facebook.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
The thing about comparing rates at progressive.com is that by now you've heard a lot of ads about comparing rates at progressive.com. We probably don't even need the words comparing rates anymore to remind you that seasoning steaks at progressive.com is an easy way to save on car insurance, or that swimming in trousers helps you find the lowest rate. And that's the thing about foraging for truffles. You've heard a lot of ads about standing tiptoe on a cinder block. Compare rates and sing softly to a wounded field mouse and save at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Of course we can help you find the right oil for your next change. We've got what your car's engine needs. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and an STP extended life oil filter for just $33.99. And you can get it all fast your way. Just order online with our free same-day store pickup or next-day delivery. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
WH Alexander underscore is the way to follow Mr. Wilson Alexander on Twitter. And, of course, you can read his things over on The Advocate. Wilson, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm okay, Gus. How are you?
You literally just did exactly how I feel. George just told me that we haven't even got to our Saints sound from the last couple of days.
I can't even imagine how tired Wilson is. He's been traveling all over the country. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, kudos to him. He's been covering the team very, very well.
When are you going to Knoxville, sir?
I leave tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, there you go. Maybe take a little nap in the early night.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but we'll see.
Probably not. Where do you want to start? We'll start with the team. Do you want to start with the leading candidates? I mean, it's crazy right now. And considering that, oh, by the way, there's a super regional to be played on Saturday, but that's almost feels like it's not the lead right now.
Right now, no, I don't think it would be. But we can start wherever y'all would like.
Let's start with the lead then. Let's absolutely do Kendall Rogers tweets earlier this morning that Sullivan tells Florida, I'm out. I'm not going there. We hear of Casey's name pop up yesterday as well, and then Twitter went to work, pro and four on that. Wilson, do you think it's just those two? I mean, I got to imagine, because what I've been saying so far in my show today is this is a job where you can almost pick, right? I mean, you can almost pick the guy that you think is best and not settle or just be backed into a corner and just sort of take a guy. I don't know. Where's the head coaching search, you think, in your mind for LSU's next baseball head coach?
Yeah, Pat Casey is certainly a candidate. He's visited Baton Rouge. We know that. It's sort of a peculiar choice, not one that you would have expected. For a number of reasons. He's 62. He's been retired since 2018, but he's a three-time national championship winning coach. He also drew some criticism. For having Luke Heimlich on his team after it came out that Heimlich had pleaded guilty to sexual contact with his niece, who was 6 years old at the time of the contact. Heimlich said later, he denied it later, but that was a very complicated story on a number of fronts. But, he remained on the team, came back a year later.
And, you know, Pat Casey then retired in 2018, but, you know, he's certainly a candidate. O'Sullivan was on their list, but that name cooled within the last couple of weeks, or maybe not even that long. I'm getting, you know, stuff mixed up. And then he, of course, released a statement today saying that he would be staying at Florida. He had no interest in any other jobs and basically, you know, put that to rest. So he won't be coming. And LSU is no longer pursuing him. Schlossnagel was on their list, but he took the job at Texas A&M. You know, I've heard, I know that Cliff Godwin's name is on their list as well. And there could be others, others that I have not been able to confirm yet. But I know that those names were considered. Two of them, of course, are not going to be coming. But Pat Casey is a candidate. And as Kendall, like, you know, Kendall tweets that wrote leading candidate, and, you know, we know he's a candidate for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's been at the forefront of this process.
ECU and Vandy, one of the super regional sites, those two head coaches, right? I mean, kind of I've heard as well.
I'm sorry, say that again?
ECU and Vandy, one of the super regionals this weekend. You kind of mentioning what Godwin there, but also, you know, Vandy's head coach.
Yeah, I have no idea if Corbin is a candidate.
A lot of LSU fans would like that, right?
Oh, they would love it, I'm sure. I mean, he's been very successful. It would be, I would imagine, hard to tear him away from Vanderbilt, though. He's one of those people, sort of same thing like Dan Van Horn at Arkansas, who's really built a formidable program there himself and might not be interested in moving elsewhere. Especially within the SEC, it's really hard to do that. But that's definitely an intriguing regional for lots of different reasons, and two good head coaches coming at it there, too.
Speaking with Wilson Alexander, the Advocate covers the Tigers. So it's interesting, just in your answer and a half here, this seems like maybe perhaps a more complicated hire than maybe many feel it could be.
Well, I think hiring processes are always a little bit complicated. It's hard to find, you know, it's hard to zero in on one candidate and then it's over. I mean, you know, I guess the Kim Mulkey search where they sort of had their person in mind once Nikki Fargus decided to resign and they were able to get her and, you know, all that. But, you know, you have to go through different candidates. I mean, look at the LSU search for a defensive coordinator. That took a while. It was hard. You know, the people have a lot of different factors that they all have to consider. It has to be a good fit for both, you know, parties. And, you know, these things sort of happen in coaching searches. Sometimes they take time. Sometimes you go through multiple candidates. I mean, same thing happens in lots of job searches as well. So I don't think it's out of the ordinary for them to maybe be going through a couple different people or all those sorts of things. You know, it's kind of what you typically see.
Kind of touch on a little of the timing. Obviously, if there are some coaches that are in super regional action or not, I mean, this could be something where it's not decided until either LSU's season comes to an end or other teams' season comes to an end, huh?
Yes, absolutely. As I understand, there will not be a formal, you know, hire made in terms of, you know, signing off on contracts and all those sorts of things until LSU season ends. One, it would be a bit of a distraction to the players to have a coaching, you know, hire made as they're still playing. And two, it's a little bit, would be, I think, a little bit disrespectful to Palmineri, to sort of, you know, have that going on as he's completing his last run, even though he doesn't want this to be about him. I mean, like, going back to that distraction for the players, you know, you want them zeroed in on games, and it's maybe a little bit hard to do that when, you know, you're announcing who their new coach is going to be. So this won't happen until the end of the season, formally. There could certainly become, you know, a verbal agreement in place or, you know, an agreement in principle. But that's also, like you said, maybe there's somebody else who they're considering out there that we don't know about who's still coaching in a super or something like that. So this won't be completely done until, you know, there won't be a press conference announcing the hire or anything like that until the LSU season ends.
At @WHAlexander_, so way to follow Wilson over on Twitter, covers the Tigers for the Advocate. So, sir, this past weekend, because we just mentioned, there is a super regional coming up on Saturday. How remarkable was that? And you, I mean, you've covered this team the entire season. Do you think facing elimination four times, they would find a way to win and make it to super regional?
No, not at all, quite frankly. Just because you'd seen, that was in amazing, frankly. I mean, those are some of the best, you know, week in the baseball I've seen in a while. Because you've seen this LSU team all year struggle to finish off series, struggle to sweep teams. You know, they'd win two or and you know, then lose on Sunday. It happened multiple times, Ole Miss and Auburn. And so you thought, okay, you know, with very little room for error, and having to win four games in a row to do it. I mean, you know, an LSU team hadn't won a regional on the road since 89. They hadn't lost the first game of regional since 85. You know, this was in some ways unprecedented. You know, it hadn't happened in a really, really long time. And they pulled it off. It was amazing. They got the contributions from a lot of different guys. You really stepped up and do the kinds of things you have to do to advance in the postseason. It was a really impressive weekend from LSU. You know, like I said, they'd only swept one series this year, and they went go out and went four straight in the span of 3 days. They hadn't done something like that this entire season. It was remarkable on their part.
I'm with you, like, in terms of the remarkability of what we saw on there. What stood out more? Was it the offense, the pitching? I mean, Marceau, I thought, was one of those guys that kind of stood out as well. Just kind of when I was talking with Chris Blair yesterday, you kind of had everything. It was literally like an LSU gumbo. You had to have a whole bunch of people kind of chime in timely fashion and manner in order to get these wins.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it takes in the postseason in particular is, you know, you think you just got to get the right things at the right time. For me, what really stood out was the pitching. Not that LSU hasn't been a, you know, really bad pitching team, but the bullpen has been a question mark at times. You know, earlier this season, it was Palmieri's biggest concern. Just because he hadn't quite figured out exactly who they could go to at the end of games to close things out. But now Devin Fontenot looks like the preseason All-American that he was picked to be. And Javon Coleman throwing six innings was remarkable. I mean, that's a guy who didn't make an SEC appearance until the end of April against Ole Miss. And then he's been just great. His last three outings in particular, going four-plus each time. And then, like we said, six to shut down Oregon in that Sunday game. And Garrett Edwards throws five innings. A.J. Labus regains his form, and, you know, it can be a really effective pitcher. You know, he doesn't have overpowering stuff, but he can really be effective. And he goes eight innings against Gonzaga in that first game on Sunday to give them, you know, keep everybody available. I mean, Trevor Whitmire steps up. It's just like everybody on that pitching staff stepped up. They brought 12 guys, 11 of them pitched, and really everybody pretty much pitched well on the whole. You get a couple of innings here and there, of course, where things didn't look great, but it was the pitching staff, I think, was really the highlight of the weekend for LSU, just because, you know, they hadn't really had that all season. And I mean, then also you have guys like you said, Zach Arnold steps up, Drew Bianco steps up. It was one of the best weekends for LSU baseball, the best weekend LSU baseball has had this season, for sure.
We're talking with Wilson Alexander, LSU reporter for The Advocate. You can follow him over on Twitter at Whale Alexander. And Wilson, we have John Morgan, father of Trey Morgan, on the show tomorrow. How crucial has Trey been in, you know, just as a whole, the past couple games, and how important is he in this upcoming series against Tennessee?
Well, he's one of their best players, if not their best player, because of everything that he does. He is tied with Dylan Cruz for the team lead in batting average. They both have 16 doubles. He steals bases. He does everything that you want at the plate. You know, he's not a huge home run hitter, but he does everything else, and he's still got five home runs. And the power will probably continue to develop with him. But also because of what he does defensively, he saved so many errors for LSU this season with his, you know, just his sort of nimble footwork around the bag, and that's something that John, you know, helped him develop. John helped him develop every single part of his game throughout his youth, you know, helping kind of groom him into the player he is today. And Trey's going to be vital, obviously. I mean, been in their three hole the last couple games. They're starting first baseman, of course. You know, he and Dylan and Gavin Duga, they're the ones who really make that offense go. And, you know, if he can have a great series, I know he's motivated too. They had a rough time at Tennessee the last time, and, you know, he wants to play well in this series, which I'm sure you'll talk to John about. He's going to be absolutely vital for LSU to keep advancing.
So obviously, let's just kind of wrap up with there, Wilson. This series, it'll be highly contested, no doubt. I think both fan bases are looking forward to it. LSU feels a little salty by that series there. So start with you chuckling. What do you remember from that series earlier in the year, and what kind of series do you expect on the weekend?
I expect something that's really, really energetic and tight. I mean, you know. I don't, you know, that last series, that they played, four runs separated, you know, was the difference for the whole weekend. It was 3-1, I think, what, 9-8, and then 3-2 or something like that. Tennessee walks it off twice on Sunday. And Tennessee fans, you know, there were fewer of them because it was reduced capacity at that time. So as Drew Bianco was talking about yesterday, you could really clearly hear what they were saying, whereas usually everything's just so loud that it kind of gets muffled out. Although the comments maybe weren't, he said, different from what they normally hear on a road series, you could just really, really hear it a little bit more sharp than usual. And, you know, they're going to be loud. It's going to be full capacity. It's going to be that, you know, that super regional atmosphere that's just so exciting and so fun. And these games should be really close. It should be a really great weekend of baseball.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, obviously, and when you look at the way this season has sort of gone, it's, well, we'll see what happens, you know. And look, but when you look at the other teams in the super regionals too, Wilson, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that we were talking about when it comes to head coaches. There's so many different teams. There's so many good teams. It's just not, it's not, and I know the Burtman, you know, documentary came out a little bit ago. It's not baseball like it was back then. It's not easy to get to Omaha anymore, and it's not easy once you get in Omaha to win, is it, Wilson?
No, it's not. College baseball has taken off. I mean, you know, Skip was a big part of that even happening. It's gotten competitive across the country, the SEC in particular. You have to go through more rounds, more games to win. I mean, they were saying how it was like 20-something years to the day, just the other day, that Warren Morris hit his walk-off. And that was, you know, we're not even at the College World Series yet. You know, right. It takes longer to get there now and to win it. You know, the level of college baseball is really heightened, and it's going to be, you know, interesting to see who emerges from these supers to get to the College World Series. It should be a lot of good teams out there right now. It should be fun.
Give Wilson a follow over the weekend at @WHAlexander_. The way to do so, and of course, you can read his work over in the Advocate. Appreciate it, man. Safe travels and enjoy the series.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Yep, for sure.
I'm glad that you said his Twitter handle, because I botched it the first
you
time.
I said
Whale Alexander.
The first time I had him on the show,
I read
did the
Whale.
Same thing, and I realized that
yeah,
actually...
it's @WHAlexander _, so I apologize.
Exactly. Can you do the show the rest of the way? I just got a text. My Pella girl just showed up.
Oh, no.
I cannot focus.
Oh, no. Yeah, I see you've been twirling your little phone for the past hour and a half.
Yeah, baby! We'll tell you what continues next.
Join us for our Memorial Day sales event going on now until June 1st at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Get a great deal on a Ram truck today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. While other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Oodles and boodles and boodles of sound.
And more to come later today.
Look, I'm with you. I mean, we've been cutting late into the evening here. So let's get to some of that here as well. Phone lines are open, and you can tweet as well on any of the topics of conversation we've had today. Let's get to some of these. We haven't got to the defense just yet. We talked a lot on the offense yesterday. Some of the things that stood out on the quarterback. Again, just my impression. Jameis Winston sounds like a guy that's trying to refine playing quarterback in the NFL. Taysom came across as somebody that is learning to be a quarterback in the NFL. That's a sizable gap to me. I'm not saying that he can't go out there and earn it, but listening to both men on Wednesday speak, I felt more confident coming from James. Does that make sense? I heard more confidence.
Well, he sounded like a quarterback.
I heard experience. Thought it was interesting. Alvin Kamara yesterday touched on the classwork versus field work, and that he thinks this is better to be more specialized instead of just trying to get through a 3-hour work, workouts on an OTA or a mini camp. I get it. I think that's great for guys like him, where essentially you don't even need to practice. He's as athletic as anybody I know. I think he's the best offensive player on the team. Show up on Sunday, but that's not everybody. And that's not a new starting quarterback. And the other thing that stood out from Tuesday, Wednesday so far is there are a lot of people trying to figure out who this team is going to be and who's going to be the alpha omega. Who's the alpha of the alphas? Okay. Who's the guy? It's been Drew Brees. There's, faces of the franchise. There's leaders, and that's good, and you've seen that. And I've brought up, last year, I brought up that I thought Alvin Kamara took a step. Remember I said I thought Alvin Kamara took a step. Something that I cut yesterday that stood out to me, Jordan, and we're going to hear more from him later, and I know we're going to do defense, but it's just one thing in particular. In that last year, Callaway stood out to me. He looked the part. Marquez Callaway. Like, I'm excited to see what he's going to do this season. When I'm cutting him yesterday and listening to his presser, confident, good attitude. I just, like, you can see and exude why that. But he said one thing, and I want to make sure this is it. But he was touching on yesterday on getting a chance to play last year and how it will help next year. And I think it's this one in which he references Kamara.
Yeah, I think it helped a lot. Now that, like you said, I got a full year under my belt, so I'm a little more comfortable back there. And the older guys helped me out a lot, as well as the younger guys, relying on them to help me. They pushed me through a lot. They pushed a lot of the young guys through. So it just helped me being able to play back then, when I was still kind of a little nervous, trying to get used to everything, but they was a big help, coaches and the players.
Now, one of the things that he was talking on, especially, was Alvin Kamara. See if this is it.
It goes by fast. That was, and everybody a lot bigger and stronger than in college. So I learned that quick, but other than that, it goes by fast. You gotta hurry up and learn. The playbook goes by fast. You gotta jump on board, or the ship won't leave without you.
And that's him going through his rookie season. He was asked, when did he feel the game started to slow down for him?
Probably when a lot of guys started getting hurt and I had to step up and play a lot. That's when the older guys kind of took me under, even more under than what they were already doing. But
there you go.
Trying to tell me, I know Alvin was a big part of that, telling me just stay. He used to tell me every game right before we go out there, just be myself, go out there and make a play. Tells me that every game, make a play, go make a play. So that's what I do. Go out there, if I make a play with the ball, without the ball, just doing something to change the course of the game.
You remember last year, CD Deuce talked about when he was injured, and you saw Alvin Kamara, like the defense was on the field, and he runs onto the field and picks up Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and brings him to the sideline. And Chauncey was asked, what was that about? And he said, we need you. Get back in the game.
Well, not only that, just from another perspective of being a vocal leader, maybe we as fans do not see it because, he's not like very, like, I want to say, like, the most vocal as Cam Jordan, out on social media, but there was a time last year when, you know, he went to Sean Payton and said, hey, coach, I saw this play. I think we need to run it. It's a touchdown.
Right.
So I think he's a lot more vocal on, you know, maybe both sides of the football.
Yeah. Well, and again, I go to, oh my gosh, his name just, it's for the Redskins. One of the top defensive guys. He was like number two in the draft, man. Oh my gosh. From Ohio State. I can't think of his name. But my point is, he's with the Redskins on the D-line. He's at the end. And you saw him last year in the playoffs, and you saw him last year towards the end of the season, like, be vocal and be on the sidelines and root his offensive players on, root his defensive players on. That's a good point that you're bringing up. Alvin Kamara's not just involved in his offense, but he's involved with defensive guys and things of that nature. So I absolutely think, you know, now he's absolutely one of the leaders on
this defensive end.
Yeah.
Chase Young.
That's him. Yeah. Like, I was surprised. Like, you saw Chase Young be very vocal with the Washington football team last year. And be involved in everything. Like, when his offense was trying to get going and everything. So, again, it's just something that stood out. So that's what I was bringing up, and that's why it led to some Callaway bites there. But I like him. I'm interested to see what he can do this season. Aren't you?
No, I think, like I texted you last night, the wide receiver core kind of needs to be like that, like from 06 to 09, to where, I mean, they're not absolute studs, but They're guys that can get the job done for you, and they could get into the end zone and make big plays.
One of the other elements, too, is Traquan Smith. Look, those two guys have to step up, right? One of those two guys has to be the number two receiver. Traquan Smith made a huge catch against Detroit. Wasn't a lot of numbers, but it was a big, important catch. He had this to say about unlocking other elements in this game.
Yeah, definitely. We talked about it a lot. You know, Jameis already told me, he's like, man, listen, when I got the ball, whatever you do, don't stop running. Because, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, stretch the ball this year. So, man, please don't stop running on me. Yeah. And don't make me look bad if you're not running. So, definitely, I definitely think we're looking to stretch the ball a lot this year.
What's the difference in that? Just, like, are you able to take a little bit more time to get open? Like, is a little bit more time to set up your routes in that when you got a little bit more time and the offense is a little more stretched out? Like, how does that change things for you?
It really doesn't change much for me. You know, now it's kind of like, you as a player, like if your route is usually a decoy route, like, and it takes you all the way down the field, you know what I mean? Now it's still an option. Like he said, don't stop running, because usually, you know, you may stop running. You know, you got a decoy route. You take your guy out of there. But now he's like, you know, don't stop running, because, you know, I'm going to come back side. And if it's open, I'm going to throw you. I don't care if you're like 60, 70 yards down the field. I'm going to throw it. So that's kind of how it is.
Slinger. 60, 70 yards down the field.
We're throwing deep again. We're throwing deep again, baby.
Where's my pen?
Jameis.
17-0.
I don't care if you're 60, 70 yards. We're throwing deep. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. You actually know this as we wrap up hour two?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we had Meacham on the show, and he specifically talked about how Drew Brees would come in, and one of the things he had to learn from his first year to second year is never stop running your route, because when you think you're not open, here comes the football from Drew Brees.
You turn around and it's in front of your face.
So to hear Traquan Smith say that Jameis Winston, again, I'm not saying it's not a competition. One guy's experienced. To hear him say, listen to me, I'm going to still look downfield, even if what that means is I'm going to go through my reads. And it's something maybe he picked up that Traquan Woods is doing. Meacham said it. It took him two seasons to figure it out, to continue running the route, even if he was a decoy, because the ball may still come to you.
And before we hit the next hour, there's some sound in there that we'll play in the final hour of who worked out with Jameis Winston and how did they get into contact to work together. And I think that also has to deal with the leadership of Jameis Winston in that role. And really haven't seen Taysom Hill.
I'm not saying it's not right. I know.
I'm just saying. I didn't hear anything about Taysom Hill getting together with players to work
out during
the offseason.
I'd go buy a Jameis Winston jersey. I'm just saying. Sports Hangover, number two, is in the books. It's the Sports Hangover, and you're home for Pelicans basketball. ESPN New Orleans.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks.